Good morning, everyone. We're very glad to see you at morning worship on this Easter Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence. Pray that the Lord will be with us. Let me just read to you the opening part of Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, he showed himself alive. Remember, this is Resurrection Day, the Easter Lord's Day. And it was after his passion. That's a reference to his death, the greatness of his love, the great demonstration of his love when he died in our place on Calvary's cross. But remember that as we come to the Lord's house, we're not remembering a dead Christ. We remember his death, but he's triumphed over death, and he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. It's the indisputable fact of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in that knowledge today. Remember that the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, is a memorial to his resurrection, as the seventh-day Sabbath was a memorial to the finished work of creation. This Christian Sabbath, the first day of the week, is a memorial to the finished work of redemption, and the change of day is a testimony to the resurrection. It's one of those infallible proofs that the Scriptures speak about. And we're going to sing about that resurrection in our opening hymn, 120. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. So the hymn 120, and we'll invite you to stand as we sing together, please.
Thank you.
Let's just bow together in prayer. We'll settle our hearts and seek the Lord, praying that we'll know the presence of the resurrected Christ amongst us today. Heavenly Father, we approach thine eternal throne. We come before thee today with praise. We pray that you'll give us that reverence in our hearts that we ought to have as we come into your house and as we approach thee in prayer. Pray for the hand of God to be upon us, each one. I want to thank you, Father, for enabling us to be here today. We thank you for this Easter Lord's Day, a day when we remember especially the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Savior. We thank you for the great note of victory and triumph that we've been singing about as we've opened this meeting. And we lift our hearts to thee in praise and worship today and say, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. We pray, Father, that in all that we would do today, that your name would be glorified and magnified. We pray that in all that we do in this house, both morning and evening, that the Lord Jesus himself will be lifted up. We pray that he might be magnified. We think of that great song that the angels in heaven and that assembled multitude sing, even at this very moment, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And Father, that would be even the praise, the song of our hearts as we gather in thy house today. We thank you for all that are assembled. Remember the congregation here. We thank you, Father, for a faithful band of your people supporting the cause of the gospel, the cause of Christ in this place, even in the very secular, atheistic society in which we're found. Lord, give us grace, we pray, to be faithful to thee. We ask that through this incoming week, we'll know the presence, the help, and the blessing of God upon our lives, upon our families. We pray that you'll guide us. Lord, we ask thee for every member of this congregation, decisions to be made, some of those very important, significant decisions relating to their own future, the future of their families. Our prayer is that they'll know the mind of God. We pray that you'll direct them very clearly, give them wisdom. You've assured us in your word that even the steps of a good man, every step that we take, is ordered by thyself. Lord, our prayer and desire today is that we'll go on with God. We pray we'll grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We desire to learn more about him. We pray for a sight of Christ in this meeting. Remember the cry of Paul writing to the Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. So, Lord, we pray that we'll be brought today to that place where we know our Savior a little more, a little better. We pray that we'll be drawn closer in our fellowship with him. We pray that we'll know the power of the resurrection of Christ upon our lives, the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, give us Spirit-anointed lives. Give to us Spirit-anointed meetings. We ask that you'll bless us and favor us with Spirit-anointed prayer meetings. We pray that individually we'll pray in the Holy Ghost. And we pray that as a church, as a congregation, that will be so as well. We pray for an increasing burden of prayer to rest upon our hearts. We pray, Father, for a deeper burden of prayer upon the hearts of this congregation. We ask, Father, that you'll own especially the prayer meetings of our church. Thank you for all that has taken place here in this last week. We remember last Sabbath night, the children, their participation. We thank you for using them, the blessing they were. Thank you for many visitors that came to that parents' night, for our brother Mr. McConnell and the message that he brought and how you used him in our midst and spoke through him so clearly. Think of every meeting during this past week, Father. Thank you for your hand upon those meetings. We praise thee for your presence with us. And Lord, we would ask that this year in Armagh will be a year of progress. We pray that the hand of the Lord will be with us. Remember the New Testament church, the disciples, it says the Lord working with them. Oh God, give to us such a year in the testimony of the gospel here. Continue to give the increase. Thank you for visitors that have been in the meetings. Pray they'll continue to come, that their number will increase and multiply. You'll send in many more from this city, but we ask that even more than that, Father, that they'll be brought to Christ in salvation. We lift our land before thee in these days, even of great concern. We bring the land and spread it out, Father. We need the help of God. We cry for it today. We pray for the intervention of God in this nation. We're saddened, Father, by the spiritual direction that our land has been taking for some time, a land that has turned its back upon thee, upon your day, upon your word, trampled your laws underfoot, a nation that has forgotten God. Lord, have mercy upon us. Send to us a move of thy spirit. Lord, we acknowledge that we need it today. We need it in our own lives. We need it in the life of this church. Our nation needs a revival of thy spirit. And Lord, we ask thee to do it. We thank you for the comfort, the assurance of your word, that you're able to give the blessing again that was known in former days. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Remember the Easter meetings at Martyrs. Thank you for the gatherings already. The word of God, the challenge, the comfort and courage of encouragement of it. Lord, we pray there'll be fruit from those meetings. We pray that the breath of God will rest upon the meeting, even tomorrow night. We pray it'll be a time when God comes and visits his church. We ask that it'll be a time when young people surrender their lives, place their lives upon the altar for God, and that, Lord, they will surrender to your will, even to go and serve thee in other lands, even as our brother and sister and the family that is amongst us today have done. We pray, Father, for the work in Uganda today. Remember Miss McAfee, all that labor with her there in the church during our brother and sister's absence. Be near to them. We thank you for progress in the building work. We remember the words of Nehemiah, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Continue, Father, to lead that work forward. We pray for guidance to be given. We thank you for the visit of the Kerskadans with us today. Refresh them on this time of holiday. Pray that we will be a means of encouraging and strengthening their hands as they're amongst us today. Give our brother help as he both reports and ministers to us from the word. We pray, Father, we'll rejoice in the goodness of God, the blessing, the seals upon their labors there that they've known. And Lord, we pray, speak to us. That would be the longing, the earnest cry of our hearts, that before we go, Father, from your house today, that you'll break the word of God to us, open the scriptures, give us a sight of Christ. And Lord, grant to all of us that word that we need just for our own circumstances, even at this time. Answer all these our cries and prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The 44th paraphrase, please. We want to sing together at God's praise. Words that are very appropriate just for this time of the year, this Easter time. Behold the Saviour on the cross, a spectacle of woe. See from his agonizing wounds the blood incessant flow. The 44th Psalm, the tune's familiar. It's the tune Martyrdom, and we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
Amen. We're delighted today to have as our guests the Reverend Ray Kirkscaddon, his wife Rhonda, and their three children, John, George, and Isla Grace. We want to welcome them very warmly and sincerely to our service. As you know, they're missionaries in Uganda at the Emmanuel Mission Station. It's almost 10 months since they left these shores, the land of their nativity, to go out to labour there. So they're home for a few weeks, break and holiday, to spend time with their family over this Easter time. We do appreciate them taking the time to come to Armagh to join with us at our morning worship on this Easter Sabbath. Our brother's going to give a wee report just at this stage, give us an update on their ministry there, and then a little later in the service he'll come and bring the word of God to us. So we'll ask him just to report to us.
I do thank Reverend McMillan for the words of welcome. It is good to be with you here today. As he said, we're over just for a few weeks' holiday. I'll not say that you're honoured to have me, but my wife, she said, we're on holiday. You're not doing any preaching when you're home. But you can't say no to the Secretary of the Mission Board and the Chairman of or the Uganda Oversight Committee. So I couldn't say no, but no, it's not just that. I am happy to be here. It's good to renew fellowship with some of you who I know and to see you again. And it is a privilege for me, not for you, but for me, to be able to be here and to just give a little update on the work in Uganda before we would preach later on. And just as I would give that update, I'd ask you to turn with me, please, in God's Word to Mark's Gospel and to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark 10. And as you turn to that portion, let me thank you for your prayers, for your support in our time. Our brother, he spoke of us being out there 10 months almost now, and that is hard to believe. The time has gone in very fast. And still, it seems strange to hear him speak of us as missionaries. Even that has not really sunk into us. But we're so thankful to you for your prayers, for your support that you've given to us. Yes, it has been a big change for us in our lives going to Uganda. But we are very conscious of your prayers and the Lord's faithfulness in answering those prayers. I want to read verses 29 and 30 to you at this stage. Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. I'll read verse 28 as well. It says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now, before we set forth for Uganda, these were words of promise which the Lord gave to us. The Easter Convention, it is on this weekend, of course. Last year at the Easter Convention, I had the opportunity to say a few words. As I stood there in Martyrs, these were the words which I shared with those who were there. Words which, yes, present the reality of what was soon to come for us, in the leaving of family, the leaving of our home, the leaving of those things behind us. In verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ very clearly speaks about those realities. But I was able to stand there in Martyrs and then point to verse 30 and not only see the reality, but see the promise given to those who would go. And I am so thankful that we laid hold of that promise of what the Lord would give us in surrendering those things, what the Lord would give us in return. And I stand here today, and I can testify that the Lord has been faithful to his promise. Now, and we laid hold of that promise and great comfort and promise it was for us going. I probably have to confess that I was looking at it in the scheme of the full term in Uganda, and maybe over that time we would see some of this. But even just in the few months that we have been there, the Lord has already been faithful to these words of promise. Yes, we've left family, we've left friends, we've left these things behind, but the Lord has been faithful in adding to us another family, adding to his church those who should be saved. And what a privilege and what an honor it has been for us to do that. Yes, people will talk about going to the mission field as a sacrifice. And yes, of course, there is the sacrifice. There is the leaving behind of those things. Yet I believe it is outweighed by the wonderful privilege it is to see the work that the Lord has been doing there in the land of Uganda. In the church, we have seen the Lord at work. The Lord is certainly building up his people. I do believe that the Lord has been at work in the hearts of the believers. There has also been some new faces have come in. I wasn't long in Uganda when there seemed to be a series of deaths and funerals for me to take. I'll not take the time to go into the details of the funeral, just to say they are very different from anything that you would experience here at home. But what a wonderful opportunity it was to go and preach at those funerals. The funerals are held at the bereaved's home, and see so many of the community, be it Roman Catholics and Muslims, coming to those funerals, and then as a result have attended on occasion the church services. Another way we've seen people come into the church is through our open air work. It's a wonderful encouragement to see that we go out into the open air and preach the gospel every Friday, to see that there has been people who have come in due to that. But not only have people come in, but there has been people through that open air ministry who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and there is others who have been restored into that fellowship with their Lord. One example of note, sadly he is no longer worshipping with us, he's had to move away due to work, but that man, an interesting name, a fitting name, a man by the name of Innocent, and we went to preach in one of the little villages in the open air. There didn't seem to be that many people there in this village. Indeed, he wasn't there to be seen. Yet he was out working in the fields, and he heard the message of the gospel over the loudspeaker. And the following Sunday, he came to church. He had professed faith earlier in his life, and with tears in his eyes, he spoke of knowing his sinfulness, knowing that he was far from innocent, as his name he was given. And it was a joy to point that man back to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these are just some of the ways in which the Lord has been blessing us in the church. There's been others. Our night security guard, our security at night, it is an external company which we have employed. The man, one of those security guards, he started on the Thursday. He came to church on the Sunday. And at the end of the service, before we even had the service finished, he made clear that he wanted to speak to us about salvation. We're still unsure if it was salvation or storing off of salvation, but that man is now a very faithful member of our church, working hard in all activities, and it's wonderful to see how he is going on. He's one of our four Ugandan men who are taking part in the Mission Board RAN Bible Training Institute. So another wonderful blessing it is. We have four men from Uganda who are taking part in that training. Four men from very different backgrounds. Say one is our nighttime security, one is a teacher in our school, and one of the men who does the translating. Another one is a pastor from a church a couple of hours away, who I came in contact with via Facebook even before going to Uganda. And then another man, the fourth man, who is undergoing the Bible Training Institute. He is an ex-prisoner. He served 11 months in prison for selling undersized fish. So you wouldn't call him a hardened criminal. Yet he was in prison for 11 months. And we'd say, wow, that's a long sentence to serve. And of course, he would agree with you. Yet that man is rejoicing that he was sentenced to prison. For it was there in prison that he found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It was in the trip of Reverend McMillan and Mr. Hamilton, I believe, was with him at that time, that he and several others in that prison came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So he has now been released. He is doing well. I've given him a little support, a little bit of help, and he's now raising chickens and selling them, and at the same time, he's studying, doing the Bible Training Institute. And this is, again, a wonderful privilege to see what the Lord has been doing in our time. As I mentioned him and mentioned the prison ministry has been a work where the Lord truly has been faithful to these words that we have considered here before us. The Lord, they're an unusual family, unusual brothers, yet the Lord has added brothers to our family. He has saved many in the prison. It has been great to see the change that there has been in the prisons, the larger prison, Lucaya. There were 70 to 90 prisoners in that prison. And we first went to them when I visited Uganda back in March 22 on my own. It seems like a lifetime ago. That was the first time that there had been a ministry in that prison since before COVID. And this was our first ministry from Emmanuel, taking services in that church. And as we went in, we brought hymn sheets with us. We started handing those hymn sheets out to the prisoners. Before very long, they started to say, "Oh, we can't read." And they refused the hymn sheets. They had no desire to sing or really even to hear the word of God. But we move on now to 2 years later. Those men in the prison have now requested their own hymn books. They have their own Bibles. They have a little box that they store their hymn books and their Bibles in, that when the evening time comes, they take them out and they worship the Lord together. And it's just wonderful to see. That's an immense privilege, to see the change that there has been in those men's hearts. And you speak to the other Ugandan men who come and minister with me in the prison, they will say it is one of their highlights in their week to stand there and to sing hymns with those men. Men who are not ashamed to own their Lord. Men are not ashamed to sing those hymns out at the top of their voice. And what a privilege it is to see what the Lord has done in that prison. Bukalula prison is the other prison, a much smaller prison, about 20 to 30 prisoners at any given time in that prison. We saw very little move for some time in that prison. And one of the men was a bit saddened by this, and I said, "Don't keep praying, and the Lord is able." And the Lord heard our prayers one Sunday. The men love to receive Bibles. Now, some of them, you wonder, why do they want the Bible? They may haven't had a profession of faith. Do they really want them to read, or maybe they think they can sell them on, because a Bible is something that many of those men could not afford for themselves. So often you do get requests for Bibles, and if one man requests a Bible, then you'll usually have a line behind them asking for Bibles as well. And that's one day I thought, well, that's what's happened. Here's 10 men gathered before me at the end of the meeting, and there's another man who's wanting to speak to me. I said, "Look, those men can wait for their Bibles. I need to speak to this man." And one of the men who was with us, he says, "No, these men, they're not looking Bibles. These 10 men, they want to be saved." Now, we have men's meetings in the church, and at one of those men's meetings, we considered about how to lead a soul to the Lord, and I advised them that where possible that you should speak to men individually and get to know a little bit about them, take your time with them. But I realized in the prison that it is far from the ideal situation. We have a very little limited amount of time before those men were sent back into their cells, and therefore taking those 10 men together, and the best that we could, we led those 10 men to the Lord. Now, this was a prison at the time. There was only 25 prisoners in. So there, in an instant, a little church, you could say, was born in that prison. And what a wonderful privilege. There's many more stories, many more accounts we could give of the Lord's goodness in our time in Uganda. But may this be a little taste and a little encouragement to you of how the Lord has heard and answered your prayers, how the Lord has been faithful to these words of promise. And we, of course, we're loving being at home with our family, seeing our parents and family members, and of course it is wonderful, but we are, of course, with great joy, looking forward to getting back to the work, because I believe the Lord has even much more to do in Uganda. There's much more could be done. There's much more that I believe our Lord is willing to do, and therefore I'm very happy to take an opportunity like this to encourage you and to ask you to keep praying, for our Lord is able to do great and mighty things which we know is not. So I thank you very much for your time, even for this little report. Again, I want to give thanks to Reverend McMillan. You know as much as anyone of his love for Uganda, his dedication to that work. And I'm so thankful for the support he's been to us, even in our first few months and even before we prepared to go to Uganda, support, encouragement, and the wisdom and advice that there has been there for us. And I want to thank you as a congregation for all your prayers and support through this first year in Uganda. Thank you very much.
Thank Mr. Kerskadden for the report. We do rejoice in all that he's told us of, the great tokens for good that he has received already in his labours and his ministry there. Our prayer is the Lord will build the Emmanuel Church, and our brother's vision is to see that church constituted and members brought in, office bearers elected and put in place. Remember that the great vision of missionary work is to see the local people, the national people, running the churches in the offices and so forth. So do remember him in his ministry there. Remember the Macaulays as they plan to go out well through their deputation meetings. Now our brother gave a little update at the missionary meeting in Martyrs last night. Remember Miss McAfee. She's just handling all that's going on at the moment there, especially with the building program. It's making very good progress. The builders are off tomorrow with Easter Monday, but on Tuesday they hope to commence the block work on the walls. They have the ducting in for all of the utilities, the electric and the water, and they have been working on the access road. It'll not be tarmac like here. It's a surface they call murram. It's a little bit like gravel and clay mixed together. There's a water channel to go down the side of that road as well for when the rainy seasons take place, and they build the foundation of the wall out of hardcore. So they're well on with that work as well. So they're hoping this week to start into the main part of the building of the walls, and that is to be complete, God willing, at the end of April, so they can move on then to the building of the two houses that are required. So keep all of that in mind. We're encouraged by the response there has been across the denomination for the appeal to help with all of that expansion there. So keep that in mind. The appeal here is still open, and you've opportunity to give to it if you haven't been able to do that as yet. But remember that the urgency is especially with the Macaulay family going out in the late summer, early autumn, to have accommodation ready for them, not to hinder them being able to move on to the field, and we want to be able to build the two houses together if the funds will allow that just at this time. We welcome you all to morning worship. We're glad to see all that have been able to gather. We have a number of folk that are enjoying this holiday and they're away at this time. We pray the Lord will be with them, watch over them and refresh them. We thank all that have been able to join. There are some that are visiting with us in the service today. We'd like to welcome you along. Maisie's sister Liz is with us from Oldham in England, and we're glad to have her with us at the service today. And any others that are visiting in the meeting, we're glad to see the children and the young people. We're thankful for your faithfulness in Sunday school and Bible class, especially at this Easter time. May the Lord bless you for coming along to the Lord's house. And those that are watching our service on the live stream, we're glad that you have been able to join us too. Remember the service tonight, please, at 6. There's the prayer meeting in the hall downstairs. We encourage you to come early. We'd appreciate your support in the place of prayer. 6:30, the gospel service. The theme is the coverings of the tabernacle. We're going to look at the innermost of those coverings, the fine twined linen, as a picture of the exalted Saviour. So it's in keeping with this season of the year, the humiliation and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to come, even if you're not a regular attender at the evening meeting. We'd like to emphasize that, challenge you to come along and join with us at our evening gospel service. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I'll be speaking at that meeting myself. Just to emphasize that the youth fellowship is now finished for the summer. Youth fellowship usually finishes at the Easter time, so we take the opportunity to thank the leaders, Matthew and Hannah, for all of their work, and we thank all the young people for their support. We've been encouraged this year to have an increase in the numbers, an increase in the attendance at the Youth Fellowship, and that's been a blessing to us. There will be a couple of other meetings arranged later in the spring and summer for the young people, just to have an opportunity for them to come together for fellowship. So we will announce those just a little nearer to the time. Next Lord's Day then, the 7th of April, 10:40 the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning service. There'll be a dedication taking place in the morning service. Little Esther Lawson will be dedicated. Some of the family members will be visiting with us. So keep that in mind. We're looking forward to that special dedication. There will be communion then after the morning service, and we will be receiving two new members into the congregation here. The Sodans are transferring their membership to Armagh. So we want to encourage a good turnout at the Lord's table next Sabbath morning as well. So we have a couple of very encouraging events taking place next Sunday morning. 6:30, please, then in the evening, the gospel service. I'll be preaching myself at both of the meetings, and we emphasize the importance of the half hour of prayer before both meetings. The outreach team is recommencing its work for the summer on Tuesday, the 9th of April, at 7:30 in the evening. The team will be meeting here at the church at 7:30, as they usually do. We thank Billy and the team for all of their work, even the outreach that has been conducted during the winter time. We encourage all the members to be present on the 9th of April, and we also encourage new members as the season begins again. We encourage you to get involved in the outreach work, the outreach team, as they go forth into the city and community. Just to emphasise, on Wednesday the 17th at our midweek service, the Reverend Ronnie McCracken will be visiting with us. The Reverend McCracken is a former missionary to the Jews. On that night, he will do for us what is called a Passover demonstration. He will bring all of the items connected with the Jewish feast of the Passover with him, and he will explain to us very clearly their meaning and also their spiritual significance. You'll find that very interesting and very profitable. Do plan to be with us. The following Monday then, the 22nd of April, that commences this year, the Feast of the Passover. So it's very timely for us. Do mark the date and make that meeting known to others as well. Remember, the Easter Convention meetings finish tomorrow evening at 7 in the Martyrs. There will be an emphasis both on the missionary work and the denominational ministry in the reports that will be given. And then Dr. John McKnight from Darlington in Maryland, the United States, will be the preacher again. Remember, there is the advert on the Facebook page with the details. There's a youth rally tonight at 9:15 in the Cookstown Church. The singer is Miss Terza Walker, and the speaker is the Reverend Paul Thompson from our Antrim Church, and there will be some supper and fellowship for the young people afterwards. Remember, the literature, the latest edition of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, is available at the doors. And just to emphasize, especially a couple of folk that need our prayers, our brother David Castles is home on Friday from hospital. Pray the Lord will continue to guide the doctors in his treatment and sustain the family just at this time. And our brother Jim Cross was also taken in the hospital just this week. Jim has a chest infection. His heart is racing a little. He's quite weak, and he would value very, very much the prayers of the congregation. We went down to see him yesterday morning, and as always, his heart is here inquiring after the work of the gospel here in Armagh. So remember these folk especially, please, in your prayers. Two verses of 437 before our brother comes to minister to us. A great missionary hymn of challenge. The challenge that we be open to the leading of the Lord, wherever he will guide us and take us in his service. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. The first two verses only, and we'll stand as we sing, please.
Where he may lead me,
Generally, our brother in Uganda preaches through an interpreter, so we will not have that limitation upon him this morning. Remember, that means that the service and the message generally takes a little bit longer, not necessarily twice as long, but a fair wee bit longer than it would in our normal circumstances. So remember the Kriskadans as they're learning the Luganda language. It's our prayer that very soon he will be able to preach without the interpreter, preach in the Luganda language. He asked me if we were going to sing any Luganda hymns this morning. So I said if he would like to sing one for us before he preached, that we would be very happy to hear that. So he's going to come and preach, whether he sings.
Not enough time.
So look forward to the Word of God.
Thank you very much.
Two portions of God's Word they want us to read together. Get something mic'd up. Turn with me first of all to Matthew chapter 20, or first of all to John chapter 10, and then our second reading will be in Matthew chapter 27. John chapter 10, verses 10 to 18. Familiar words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John 10, verses 10 to 18. We read, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And then if you turn over to Matthew chapter 27, a very different portion of God's Word, Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 to 9. And we see a very stark contrast in what we read here in these words. Matthew 27, verses 1 to 9, we read, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to be put into the treasury, but it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. This was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word here this morning. Let us please unite our hearts together in prayer before we consider these portions together this morning. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for today. We thank thee, Lord, for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank thee, Lord, for this day in the week which we come aside from the things of this world. And Lord, we come together to worship thee. And Lord, sing praise unto thee for what thou hast done for us. O Lord, may thou put Christ before our eyes this day. O Lord, through the preaching of thy word, may we hear and know our Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, fill me with thy spirit for the proclaiming of thy word. And fill us all, Lord, with thy spirit that we may receive it with gladness. For Lord, we do ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And in our short time back in Northern Ireland,
Something which we could not help but do is compare home to Uganda. And even as we're speaking to some of the officers of the mission board the other day, we speak of Uganda as home and we speak of here as home. Yet those two homes, they are different. There is differences which are very clear to be seen. And of course, the most obvious difference at this time is in the weather, in the temperature that we are having to face. Now, there are many other differences, some differences good, some differences bad, but yet there are very clear and present differences between Northern Ireland and Uganda. The differences are easy to see. And as we've now read two portions of God's Word here, we see there these two portions of God's Word are indeed very different. One speaks really of the coming death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other speaks about the death of the one who would betray him. And there's a contrast between these two deaths. These two deaths that occurred, as we would call today, at Easter time, two deaths, yet how different those deaths were. And I want us to compare, as I say, these two deaths, the death of Jesus and the death of Judas. And I want us to see a great contrast that there is between the two. So without any further ado, I want us to consider the first difference in these two deaths. And the first one is this. One was paid with blood money, while the other paid with his blood. One was paid with blood money, while the other paid with his own blood. Oh, how different were the final hours of Judas and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, Judas is the one who was paid with the blood money. We've just read those verses. He was paid with these 30 pieces of silver. There in verses 5 and 6, we see that this is what has occurred. He's coming back into the money. He casts the silver down. And then it speaks of how he goes and hangs himself. And then in verse 6, it speaks about how the priests, they knew that this was indeed blood money. They could not use it in the lawful uses of the temple because, as it says, it says there in the conclusion of the verse, because it is the price of blood. This was indeed blood money. This was money which was gained in the betraying of the Lord Jesus Christ, betraying in him, leading to his death. And if you go back a chapter, you go back to Matthew chapter 26, we see where the source of this money came from was indeed this. In verses 14 to 16 of Matthew 26, it says there, in those verses, it says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tragic betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. The receiving of this money, it was the beginning. It would commence ultimately the tragic end of Judas. A tragic end which we have read of here in Matthew chapter 27. It was the receiving of this blood money, which we will see later on, led to the death of Judas. But we could also say it commenced the final hours also of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it was by him being paid with this blood money that started the chain of decreed events which would result in Jesus Christ paying the price for our sins by his blood. And here what a striking contrast there is. While Judas was paid with blood money, the Lord Jesus Christ paid with his blood for our salvation. You see, if you go over that second portion of Scripture that we read together, that portion there in John's Gospel, and we see that Jesus Christ, that he would be that lamb which would be slain for us. In John 10, in verse 11, we read there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, how different Christ and Judas were. While Judas sought to gain what he could, our Savior would give everything for us. While Judas accepted the price of betrayal as those 30 pieces of silver, our Christ was preparing to pay the price for our sin. Judas was taking what he could, and Jesus was giving everything for us. God's word makes it abundantly clear that rather than attain anything for himself, Christ on the cross was paying the price of our sin, purchasing our redemption by his precious blood. God's word is very clear that this is what Christ was securing upon the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." He purchased our redemption through his blood. Matthew 26, in the verse 28, he says there in those great words of institution of that communion feast, Matthew 26, 28, he says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Christ shed his blood to purchase us, to set us free from our sin. He paid the price that was due to us. Oh, how different, therefore, was the death of Judas and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. One being paid with blood money, while the other paying the price by his blood. And if you are here unsaved today, I wonder, will you maybe today accept that Christ has paid that price for your sin? Will you believe that his precious blood is so precious that it can pay the price for your sin, that his blood is the way that you can find cleansing today? Oh, may we see the power in the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here is one clear difference between the death of Judas and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. One was paid with blood money, while the other paid the price with his blood. But see with me, secondly, another difference in these men's deaths is one died trying to escape life, while the other died to give life. One died trying to escape life, while the other died to give life. If you look with me back in Matthew chapter 27, and there in verses 3, 4, and 5, I say these are tragic words. Verses 3, 4, and 5, we read, "Then Jesus, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned," that is, when he saw that Christ was condemned, when he saw the consequences of his actions of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw what was now going to happen to him, it says, when he saw the reality of what he had done, that he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." So here we see this man's guilt. Here we see his realization of what he has done. Yet he finds no comfort. He finds no escape from his guilt. And then we're told in verse 5, well, what he concludes is the only solution. It says, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed and went and hanged himself." How tragic these verses are. A tragedy that was of this man's own making. A tragedy that was brought about by his greed for 30 pieces of silver. A greed that led to betrayal. A betrayal which would then lead to this deep and dark guilt of what he had done to the Lord Jesus Christ. And finding no other way out, thinking that there was no other solution, he thought that the only thing to do was try and escape life by taking it. And of course, there's been many before him and many since him has thought the very same thing. Even again in Scripture, we have another example of a man who thought that taking of his own life was the only escape from his troubles and trial. And that man, of course, is the Philippian jailer. In Acts 16, verses 27 and 28, it says, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" Now, while we see that there was a final intention was the same, both of these men desired to take their life. The Philippian jailer, he was doing it out of fear, for he knew that in his eyes, his life would not be worth living if these prisoners had escaped. And there, that was his reason. But for Judas, it was out of guilt. He realized what he had done, and he thought, well, all he could do was tragically take his own life. He thought that this was the only answer, and he would take his life simply to try and escape it. And therefore, as we consider that death of Judas, compared to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, what a contrast and what a difference there is to be found. For while Judas died trying to escape life, the Word of God tells us that Christ gave his life. Christ died not to try and escape life, but Christ died to give life to those who will believe. Back there in John chapter 10, if your finger is still in that portion, in John chapter 10 and in verse 18, John 10 verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now, in the opening words of this verse, we see Christ makes a great declaration. He says that he gives his life freely, that no man was forcing him, no man was taking his life from him, but he was laying it down of himself. He was giving of himself upon the cross. But as we consider Christ giving himself on that cross, willfully, not being forced, but this was, he was not dragged to the cross, but he went willingly to that cross. Yet at the same time, this was not like Judas. This was not one deliberately sacrificing himself that he may escape life, that he could get away from living amongst sinful men and to get away from all the pain and the suffering that they were causing to him. This was not one trying to escape life. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave of his life on the cross that he could give life to us hell-deserving sinners. Christ gave his life that we may have life. When we go back to verse 10, we see again that Christ makes very clear that this is his purpose, as you could say, in his earthly life. John 10, verse 10, says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The death of Jesus, it is shrouded in tragedy and hopelessness. And how tragic it is that one can think that their only escape is death. One could say how wasteful it is off the gift of life. But while Judas' death is tragic and indeed wasteful of that gift that was given to him, instead we can say how glorious and precious was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not tragic, but glorious. What a glorious day this is to be reminded today that we have a risen Savior, that he died upon that cross, and today he is risen again for our justification. He died. He died to give you and to give me life. He died with a purpose. Oh, what a Savior is ours. But I wonder today, is Christ your Savior? Have you put your faith in that death upon the cross of Calvary? Have you put your trust in the death and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented and have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I gave a report, as you know, there a while back. I spoke there of how the Lord has been moving in Uganda, how the Lord has saved souls, and I often wonder what people think when they hear Uganda or Africa in general mentioned. They think of the poverty, and they think of the need, and they think of all the things that they don't have. And there is a pity. But you see, there's men sitting in prison today in Uganda, and those men are in a far better position, maybe, than some of you, because those men, they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, yes, you may have the comforts of home. You may have food always on the table. You may not have to suffer the things that they have to suffer, yet eternally speaking, those men are in a better position and condition than you because they have repented and believed. They have believed for themselves that Jesus Christ has died for them. Oh, there's men in that prison. And when we first met them, maybe they felt very much like Judas. They felt like their life was pointless. They felt like they would be better off dead. But yet they've come to trust in the death of that other one, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder today, will you see your sorry state? Will you see that you need a Savior and that you can have that Savior and you can have that Savior today? Oh, today we've considered the deaths of these two, this man, Judas, and the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we've considered that one was paid with blood money while the other paid the price with his blood. We've seen that one died trying to escape death and the other died to give life. But see with me thirdly, another difference between these men. One was a sinner and disobedient from birth, while the other was perfect and obedient unto death. Matthew 27, verses 3 and 4, it speaks of Judas there. It says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that." Now in verse 4, we see Judas indeed confesses that he is a sinner. However, as we all know, he confesses it not to God, but to man. Yet the declaration was true. He was indeed a sinner. And from his beginning, he was bound and a servant of the devil. In John chapter 6, in verses 70 and 71, we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says about what Jesus says about Judas before it was revealed that he would betray him. It says there, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." And says he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. See, here the wickedness and the sinfulness of this man is clearly presented. And you may say, "Oh yes, what a wicked man." But dear friend, if you are still in your sin, may you realize that really you're no better. None of us are any better. Each one of us are sinners and disobedient from birth. The psalmist David, he tells us that we were shapen in iniquity and sin did our mothers conceive us. We are sinners. We all have sinned against Almighty God in this way. So let me consider that. May we consider that we are sinners. May we not get puffed up, even we are saved. May we not think any more of ourselves than we are. But for the grace of God, go any of us today. Oh, consider the sinfulness of Judas. But you see, such sinfulness is in each and every one of us. But why we can rejoice today that there was one who was unlike Judas, one who was not sinful from birth, one who knew no sin, one who, rather than being disobedient, was obedient unto death. And that is, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's much more we could say on that. We could look at some verses which show Christ, the verses which tells us of Christ's death. It doesn't tell us that Christ just died, but he was obedient unto death. He showed obedience as he went to that cross. So what a difference there is between our Savior and the one Judas. But there's one final point, and I want to conclude with this as quickly as possible. And as we consider the death of these two men, I want to leave with you this. One is still facing death and hell, while the other is risen and is in heaven. One is still facing death and hell, while the other is risen and is in heaven. Matthew 27, verse 5, it says there, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." There is the death of Judas. Here he is, his death. What a death it was. In Acts chapter 1, listen to what it says in that verse. It speaks there in Acts 1:25. It says that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Jesus by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. You see, Judas, when he hanged himself, that was tragic. But that was only the beginning of his tragedy. For you see, at his death, he went to that place. The place here called his own place. He went to that place of eternal suffering. That is the sad reality today. That while being with Christ, walking with Christ, hearing Christ teach him, seeing the miracle as Christ performed, seeing Christ's love that he showed, the compassion that he showed, sitting under his teaching for those years. Yet that man never came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And today, because of that, he is suffering in the place of hell. You see, I want to be very clear. I want you to see with me today that Judas is not in hell because he took his own life. Judas is in hell because he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You see, we noted earlier, Judas tried to escape his problems by taking his life. But God's word tells us that if we are in our sin, there is no escape from God. Hebrews 2 verse 3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, this is why Judas is in hell. Not because he took his life, but Judas is in hell because he neglected so great salvation. Oh yes, suicide. The taking of his own life was the cause of his death, but it was not the reason that he was in hell. It is because he did not know his Savior. Oh, suicide. The taking of one's life, it is such a tragic way to die. I don't believe there is any more tragic way to end of one's life than to think that the only way out is to take their own life. What tragedy there is to take one's life. But how more tragic it is to want to die without a Savior. Oh, suicide, it's something that many find so hard to comprehend. When someone gets to such a position, when someone feels that is their only way out, it's very hard for others to understand how they would come to that and why that is hard to comprehend. How much further, harder it is to comprehend one who will die without a Savior. Oh, it is something that I find hard to comprehend. To think of one's loved ones, to think of those who we preach to, that those are going to go to a lost eternity. That is something very hard to comprehend. We often maybe do not want to think upon those things, but we need to comprehend them. As those who are saved, we must think about those who are going to a lost eternity and do everything in our power to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in the prayer meeting praying for their salvation. To be praying to the one who is able to save them from their sin. An unsaved one, it is something that you too must comprehend today. To comprehend that there is no escape for you without a Savior. You see, like Judas, today you are on a path that leads to destruction. But dear friend, there's hope. Dear friend, there's comfort. Because of the other one we have been considering today. Oh yes, what hopelessness there is in the death of Judas. But what hope there is in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, Judas has gone to a lost eternity. But Jesus Christ, he is alive. John 10, verse 17. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ did take his life again. The Christ rose victoriously from the grave. And because he lives, there is hope for each and every one of us. There is a Savior. Child of God, we can say because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Whatever challenge, whatever difficulty we have to face, we can know we have our sins forgiven. We know that we have that home prepared for us in glory. And therefore, I trust this Easter Sunday that each one of us are trusting in the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Judas and Jesus, what difference there was in their two lives. May we can tell how much difference there was in their death. But whose death? Whose death are you going to, you could say, live by today? Are you going to live the life of Judas? Die the death of Judas, going to a lost eternity? Or are you going to put your trust in the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Know your sins forgiven, trusting in his death, trusting that Jesus Christ has died for you. I thank you all very much for listening to me today, and I trust that the Lord's word will be a blessing and a challenge to each and every one of your hearts. Thank you.
478, please, is our closing hymn. The Lord's hand has been upon his servant today as he's opened the scriptures. Very relevant interesting, challenging message that he's brought. Our prayer is the Lord will bless it and use it especially to the saving of some souls amongst us, some that have heard the message. Do continue to remember the Kerskadden family, please, in your prayers. So just the first and last of 4, 7, 8. Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold my love or my Lord from thee. So verses 1 and 4 of 4, 7, 8, we're standing as we sing, please. Father, we thank thee for the time in thy house. We thank you for the report we've heard, the blessing of God upon the missionary work in Uganda. We thank you for what we've heard from the scriptures. We thank you for teaching us a little more today. We thank you especially for the death of Christ, the great contrast that we've seen. We thank you for the greatness of his love. We pray that you'll touch our hearts. We thank you for all that have experienced eternal life, that abundance of life of which our brother spoke. Pray that will be true of all in this meeting and all in our families. And Father, we pray that as we think of all that you have given for us, we pray that you'll help us in return to give our all for thee and thy service. Be with us as we go. May we know your presence through this day, through this week. Remember the meeting tonight. May the power of God be upon the gospel as it is preached. And we ask thee just, Father, part us in thy fear, with thy favour. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. Amen.